welcome to the Fran cast. We're really excited today. We have one of our special in-between seasons bonus episodes where we are going to be talking about some Fran content that's not The Nanny. And we're going to be looking today at her show, Living with Fran. And it's going to be really fun. I'm filmmaker Rachel Wagner, and Larry's here.
Hello.
And Colleen is here.
Hi, everybody.
And we have special guests today to help us to talk about the show. We have Mitu and BJ from the Pilot Podcast here. And thank you so much both for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. Thank you.
Yes. So what I wanted to do is give you both a chance to talk about your show. And you guys, I discovered your show because I was looking for podcasting content on The Nanny. I mean, you had reviewed the show, The Nanny, on your podcast, and you were pretty glowing in your review, I felt. And so that's how I discovered you. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your show?
Sure. So our show is called The Pilot Podcast. We've been reviewing the TV pilots for about 3 years now, and we always try to answer your question, should I watch this?
Basically, yeah. We came up with the show because we're both lazy people who wanted recommendations before we got too far into a show and ended up not liking it. And I don't know if you've ever hate watched the rest of a show because you're like 2-3 episodes in and locked in, and we're trying to save you that time or find you your next binge that you're happy about.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you end up continuing to watch most of the shows that you do, or do you just, most of them you're like, probably not?
I think we end up finding a lot of gems in the rough, but because we review so many shows, we have to be very picky with what we keep watching.
Right. Yeah. And so what did you think of The Nanny? Was that one that you would, if you had time, keep watching?
Definitely. So we decided to revisit that because we both had such fond memories of the show. And rewatching the pilot, we instantly were like charmed again. And I think we both ended up watching the full first season.
Yeah. Oh, so you watched the whole first season, huh?
Yeah, we kept going.
Yeah. See, that says a lot. That says a lot. What did you like about it, Mitu?
I loved The Nanny growing up. And when BJ and I revisited it to review for the show, I don't think that I had seen it since I was a child, but I immediately was like singing along to the theme song. And I just, from the first beats, I was locked in. She is in all of these stunning outfits. The humor is so good. The cast is remarkably cohesive, and Grandma Yetta was just an icon.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So yes, when we both, all three of us, felt like that it's one of the stronger pilots that we've, for a sitcom that we've seen. Like it's so solid.
Yes. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, well, that's great. I think it's a really fun show. And you can tell a lot about a show through looking at the pilot. That a lot of times, the first season can be a little bit rough to a lot of shows, but you can still see a lot of that potential, I think. So I think it's a fun idea that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Very cool. So, all right. Well, let's talk about Living with Fran. And so, had you ever, Larry, had you ever seen this show before? Did you watch it at all when it came out?
I did. I do remember the show. Once, I know she's had a few Fran sitcoms since The Nanny. and I think I've given at least this one and Happily Divorced a look. But yes, I do remember at least dabbling with this show when it was on air.
Yeah. Colleen, did you see it?
No, I didn't. This was my first exposure to it. And it was kind of, I don't even know if I had ever actually heard of it until we started then, like, talking about Fran and her work. I knew about Happily Divorced because I used to watch Hot in Cleveland, And I think it was on the same time or on Nick at Night. Yeah. So I used to see the commercials, but I didn't watch it. But yeah, this was a new to me, although I recognized some of the actors. So that was kind of nice. So
So this was 2005. It ran for 2 seasons. And so, BJ, what was your sort of overall thoughts about this pilot?
I felt like this was definitely Fran making a fun show for herself. And not that that's a bad thing. I think that she's kind of earned it. And I really like the setup. So I vaguely remembered this series, but I think she pulled together a good cast and she was really mixing up the sitcom family dynamic in what feels like a fresh way still. You don't see this type of storyline much.
Mm-hmm. Me too. What did you think overall?
Not to answer your question with a question, but was this one based on her life as well? I feel like Happily Divorced was loosely based on her life.
So this was based loosely based on her life, just in the sense of after her kind of rebound relationship after breaking up, after her divorce, was with a much younger man. But I think all the other particulars are all different.
But
yeah, if you read Cancer Schmancer, she talks about that a lot in that book, her relationship with this other, with this younger man. So I think that's the part that's, yeah, that's somewhat autobiographical. But yeah, so this pilot overall for me, I think that it has its moments. I do think it's a very well casted show. I like all of these actors. I would go on to love Ben Feldman in Drop Dead Diva. That's a show that I love. I also, Ryan McPartlin, I've actually interviewed him.
Oh, wow.
I think he's super charming and lovely. And of course, I love Fran. So I love the cast. But there's a side of me that feels like the show is kind of still continuing to sort of apologize for the relationship. Like, I don't feel like it quite 100% owns it like it needs to for it to really work. And it's kind of like a show that's pretending to be a body positive show, and yet all the jokes are fat jokes, you know? That's kind of how I felt a little bit. And there was a part of me that felt like maybe she was actually like a little bit embarrassed about it, but yet she's doing the show. I don't know. It's interesting. But Larry, did you feel that way at all?
In the pilot episode, I mean, no, I guess I didn't really get much of that feeling. No, not personally.
Yeah. What did you think of the pilot?
It was okay. wait, is this the Reba house? Is this the same, like, studio lot? Do you know, Rachel?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I was gonna say, this looks, like the house from Reba, but, because we talk about her sometimes. It was,
another
I don't
show
know,
I loved.
There is just, I don't watch enough sitcoms personally, but it just felt like a sitcom. That, I don't know. And this is one that I think there was, I don't know, those awkward dead spaces. Like, the editing wasn't quite snappy enough and the jokes weren't quite hitting. Like, the timing for me wasn't there in this pilot.
I think that maybe that awkwardness that you're describing is what I was kind of trying to describe. But yeah, it just didn't quite like own it like I wanted it to. But I don't know. What do you think, Colleen?
I tend to agree, although more in the second episode than the first, about the age thing. But I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was average. It's not a show that, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I probably will not watch beyond episode 2, most likely. Even though it's Fran, I mean, I don't know if I can do it. But I, sorry.
It's okay.
But it was just not, it was all right, but I agree with you. There was some dead space, and some of the jokes just felt recycled a little bit. It was a little bit formulaic, and I get that because that's what you know, you're not sure where your footing is going to be. But I don't know. It was all right. Yeah.
So it starts out this episode with the son is kicked out of medical school, and he comes home and he finds out that his mother's in this relationship. And it's this guy named Riley, and they say, you can call me R-Dog. And there were a lot of dated jokes, I feel like, in that already feel a little bit, considering this was, you know, just 2005. I don't know. I thought a lot of R-Dog and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. In this. What did you guys think of Allison as a character? Played by Misty Treya. What do you think, me too, about that, about her?
I would add that first, 2005 was an entirely different era. I loved that we opened up with Fran in the like low rider jeans and just something that we never, ever, ever, ever need to return. I just had a visceral reaction to that, but it was also humorous. I would also say that when she offered in the second episode breath strips to Ryan's mom, I also cracked up at that because I was like, wow, that is like me in the car with my mom, very 2005, on the way to high school. She's driving me there and she's giving me a breath strip.
Yeah.
For the daughter character, Allison, I thought she was fun. She was a good foil to the very neurotic, what was Ben Feldman's name again? Josh. She was a good foil to Josh's, neurotic nature. And I think that we'll get to see her keep being this alternative sort of darker character in her family. But we're definitely, because it's a sitcom, she's going to end up having a heart of gold and she's going to end up, you know, showing all of the many ways that she'll stick up for and love her family.
I agree. I thought that she actually had probably the funniest jokes and writing of the pilot. But I do think that she was way too old for the role. I was looking up that she was 24 when
filming. Oh, wow.
And she, at least in my opinion, she looked it. She did not look 15 at all to me.
It just said, hit me right now. You know who the character sort of reminds me of? Did you guys watch Melissa and Joey? The niece or whatever.
Yep.
Kind of that was kind of, I think, where she reminds me of that a little bit. I can't remember.
I can
her
see
name.
That.
Or Reba's younger daughter.
Yeah, Kira.
To bring it back yeah. to Reba.
But she looked more like she was 15 to me than this actress did.
Mm-hmm. Looked,
she looked as old as Ben Feldman. She did not look 15 to me.
And I wonder why they felt the need to go with such a drastic age difference between the two.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why did 25 and 15? Like, I don't know. Not like that's a super common family dynamic to wait 10 years for your second child. I mean, certainly there are people.
It happened to me. I was the sixth child. My mother, my next oldest brother is 10 years older, but I agree, it's not common.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of address it because Fran references having Josh when she was 17. So it might have been like, I want to wait until I'm ready to have Allison, and then you get that bigger gap.
That makes sense. I forgot they said that. But I know, I thought she had some funny jokes. Like, I liked when she said, my life is not all food courts and Buffy reruns. and she says, au contraire, I'm losing my job at IHOP because I won't sleep with the waffle foreman. And I think that is a joke you would never see in 2020. Probably rightfully so.
How old is this waffle foreman? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yes. It felt so of its era, that whole show.
Yeah. And we also had a joke from her. Another one you would never see is she said that Susie Collins wants me to forge her parents' signature so she can get a boob job. And if my SATs don't improve, I'm going to end up a 25-year-old head case living with my mom. So, yeah. But I thought she had like the sharpest jokes of like some of them might not hold up now, but I don't know. I felt like hers were the ones that were the most going for it of anybody in the cast.
Yeah, she was definitely better in this first episode than she was in the second one.
Yeah. I liked when he called Ryan McFarlane a Zoolander looking ape. That made that made me laugh. That was pretty good. What do you think of Ryan McFarlane? What did you think of him, BJ?
So I like seeing him on Chuck. So I was already fond of the actor, so it was fun to see him in this role. But I feel like Riley, at least in the first two episodes, didn't have much to him. He's just a very nice, supportive boyfriend, which is great. He had the awkward thing where he kept trying to consider Josh his son. But other than that, I wanted kind of more to his background and his character, because having a happy relationship with Fran is fun, but not entertaining for a sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree. I thought that probably the best moment was the fight over the peas. And when they say, who's Mrs. Robinson? She says a family friend. That was funny, I thought. What did you think of him, Colleen? What did you think?
Well, I only know him from Hallmark. He's done a couple Hallmark movies. So when I saw him right away, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Rachel, worlds collide again.
And our beloved Twinkle All the Way from last year. And that's why I interviewed him.
I think he's been in two. Anyways, the point, I thought he was okay, but I agree. I don't think he was very developed. And I think they made him a little bit stereotypical, I guess you could say, for an average. Although, in a way, not really, because he was dating a much older woman. I didn't really feel like I know who he is yet from the first two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you agree, me too?
I would say that I would agree with you, BJ. We needed a little bit more information on this kid's background. Not kid, grown man. And I would also add that I really loved him in Twinkle All the Way on Lifetime. And I know that completely an aside from this show. He was a delight in that movie. And the whole time I was watching Living with Fran, I was like, why does this guy look familiar? And I realized it's because he had to throw a Christmas-themed wedding under a short time constriction. And so that was a delight. And I'm excited to revisit that movie. That was my first thought once I figured out who he was.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I'm not even kidding. Not even just Lifetime movies. I love that movie. I love Sarah Drew and I love him. He's so good.
I hope they put him in more. I hope he gets to be one of those dudes that they rely on often. I know that we'll often see the same people in the Lifetime Christmas movies and the Hallmark movies and the Hallmark movies and Mystery Channel movies. And so I hope he gets to be in that repertoire of people.
Me too. So one of the things that we don't get to see in either of these two episodes, but they did cast Charles Shaughnessy as her ex-husband, as Fran's ex-husband later. And I think that was kind of a mistake because some fans felt like they were saying that Mr. Sheffield and Fran broke up. And which was very upsetting for all of us. In fact, even if you watch this pilot on YouTube, there's comments on there about how dare she leave Mr. Sheffield and ridiculous, absurd comments. But I don't think that was a good idea to do. I'm sure he needed the work, but still. So Ben Feldman, the son, Larry, what did you think of him? Did you like him or think he was irritating?
Ben Feldman is a fun, almost like character-y actor, not quite a character actor, but you know, he fits into his niche very well. And I thought his character had fun neurotic moments as well. I usually like those kind of weird, awkward characters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he was fun.
Yeah. Have you reviewed Drop Dead Diva as you're on your pilot podcast?
We haven't reviewed Drop Dead Diva, I don't think. We've done a lot. So I don't think so, but I have watched the show. I would say that the show that we connect Ben Feldman most with is probably Superstore.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because Beach is a huge fan of that show and put me on.
I've heard good things about that show. I haven't ever seen it.
Check it out. But the next season is coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I like America Ferrera. I probably would like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great on that show. But also leaving it soon.
Right. Oh, I just saw her Instagram. Yeah.
So jump in now, girl. And
catch it after I finish watching 500 Christmas movies, then I'll have time.
Yeah, come January, after January 1st, we can revisit like series.
But I don't know if I even told you guys that I host the Hallmarkies podcast, so that's why I watch so many Christmas movies. And anyway, but yeah, I love Drop Dead Diva. It was one of my favorite shows that I've ever seen. So if you need a guest when you do the pilot, when you do Drop Dead Diva pilot, I'm there for it. I love the pilot. I love the show. And he's great in it. He plays her sort of angel, a kind of handler person that helps her. And kind of her mentor person. And he's great. I really loved him on that show. And so it was interesting to see him in this. And I think there was some nice dynamics between him and Fran. Like, I like when she tells him, go and take your stupid air quotes with you. I thought that was pretty funny. I also liked when Riley says her voice is the first and last thing I want to hear, and they're all like, her voice.
That was a really good one. When she, in the opening of the show, pretended to be her own assistant and did that put on voice and faked out the audience to make them think that Fran was not going to be signature Fran voice. And then she went into her voice, which I will not even attempt to imitate or impersonate. And that was just such a, like, one of those jokes. It's like a relief where you're like, oh, thank goodness she's going to be Fran.
You know, what's funny. Her voice, it was like a couple of words. It just brought out to me, I don't know why, it made me think of Moira from Schitt's Creek, like something in her fake voice made me think of her a little bit, but yeah, it's not for, that's not Fran. So,
Yeah. All right. Well, 1 to 10, what would you give this pilot? What do you think, Larry?
I think I'd go with like a 5.
Mm-hmm. Colleen?
I agree. I would say a 5.
BJ?
I'll give it a 6.
Okay. Me too.
I might go one higher than you, Beej. Maybe a 7. Because I think it is good for its own era.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think I would also go with a 6. I think it had potential, but I just didn't feel like they kind of owned it or quite sharp enough. And maybe it's just because of the era, and it was on, I think, on CW. So maybe they just couldn't go kind of where. But I feel like that the nanny was a lot edgier as far as the jokes they would make. And so, and they just had such amazing chemistry on The Nanny. And it was just all, it was lightning in a bottle. You know, it's so hard to recreate. Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So the second episode has Fran inviting Riley's parents to come and visit, but he hasn't told them that she is older. And so that's kind of most of the drama relies on there. We also have Allison getting a nose ring. So Larry, what did you overall think of this episode?
The age jokes were kind of fun with Mary Lou Henner. But everything generally, I wasn't a big fan of this episode. Mm-hmm. As I said, I thought the daughter and her nose ring stuff just, I don't know, did not work. Also, the reason I guess I don't watch a lot of sitcoms, honestly, is I have only so much of a bar for this really broad stroke of humor and writing. A little bit goes a long way for me. And this episode particularly, there were some really broad moments throughout pretty much the entire episode. Like them sitting at the table and the two kids, like the, oh no, you didn't little moment was just too much for me. I was like, oh my gosh. But, it was a step down definitively from the pilot.
What do you think, Colleen?
The highlights were seeing Mary Lou Henner and John Schneider, which I thought was funny, and they're both done Hallmark, and she does a lot of Hallmark. And did anybody notice the kitchen changed in that episode from the first kitchen? It was a different kitchen.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot with pilots.
Okay,
so you guys. Yeah. See that on your podcast that the pilot, like for instance, the Cosby Show is pretty famous for using a completely different house mm-hmm. for its pilot than the rest of the show. But I'm sure you guys see that a lot.
Definitely. When they produce a lot of these pilots, it's when they're trying to get picked up. So there can be a large gap. And so then when they start the rest of the season, the original set might actually be gone. Mm-hmm. I think this show even had a different name before it officially aired.
Probably that would make sense.
You'll see that with casts too. Like famously Golden Girls had mm-hmm. the chef that disappeared mm-hmm. after the pilot episode because they wanted Sophia to have more space versus them having, I guess what you would call like the gay best friend character in the chef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the Cosby Show, I think they added one of the kids that wasn't in the pilot. They made it. I think they added Sandra, the older daughter. They added her later, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. BJ, what did you think of this second episode?
So I actually like this episode a lot better than the pilot. I'm totally here for Donna and her just ruthless jokes and digs at Fran throughout the episode. And then Riley kind of having this whole new persona where he's not able to stand up to his parents. I didn't like Allison as much in the first episode, and I kind of started to get her more in this one. And I also kind of appreciated that Josh is becoming more quirky Is that like a nice way of describing his unique personality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too. What did you think?
I also liked that we got into the characters a little bit more. I would say that the stronger point for me was in the flashback, seeing Riley's frosted tips.
Yeah.
That was a lot for me to process. And I thought that that was probably the highlight for me when they're explaining to his mom how they met. And it was just, wow, like we're being confronted with these lowrider jeans and the fashion choices we made 15 short years ago. Could have been a lifetime ago. And then we saw the frosted tips to just like take it all over the top. So that was fun.
And a soul patch.
I was just going to say, I have in all caps in my notebook where I was taking notes, the soul patch.
Yeah, it looked like Ryan McParland was about to join a boy band.
Yes. You look like, the blonde Nick Carter.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah.
Nick Carter, he really did. That's so true. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I liked when when she says, thanks Groucho and Chico. I mean, that was funny. And I didn't mind this episode. I thought it had its moments. I think that Mary Lou, Henner, and Fran had pretty nice chemistry between the two of them. And I liked when he says, I think what my wife meant to say is hello and thank you for having us to dinner. The way that the husband kept trying to make nice of all the passive aggressiveness of Mary Lou Henner's character, I thought was funny. You have Riley cutting his finger and they have to go to the hospital, and you see why Josh couldn't have made it in medical school. That's for sure. And Allison's nose gets all swollen. I thought it was a funny joke when he says the reindeer won't be calling Rudolph this year. Mm-hmm. And I liked when he says, if you were as young as those girls, you probably wouldn't be all of those things. And so that, you know, that he likes her more, you know, for her and who she is. And I thought that was a nice moment. But they also say to Fran, they say to her, it sounds like Riley isn't the one who is uncomfortable with the age difference. And so Fran has to kind of realize that maybe it's her and not him who's the one that's been avoiding his parents. And so I thought that was good. And it was fine for me this episode. Overall, the show, I just don't think it had quite enough for... It had a lot of good pieces, but it just didn't quite gel together. And it's hard. It's really hard to make a show work. There's so many factors that go into place to make it all work. But was there anything else that stood out to any of you in this episode?
Mary Lou Henner, it just hit me now, reminded me a little bit. She's good at playing it like a disapproving mom. Did you remember June in January?
Yes.
Where she was so upset that her son was going to marry someone that she didn't approve of. And I kind of felt like that was kind of the vibe here. Mm-hmm. But I like her a lot. I think she's good. She's good in that kind of role.
She's also in Hitch for the Holidays.
Right.
Which is a pretty fun Hallmark movie where they about a Jewish girl and a guy that make a pact to get through the holidays together, and it's pretty fun. But
she's also in the Aurora Tea Garden movies. Yes. On Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Very, very good as Ida. Yeah. Garden.
Yes, we got to get you on Hallmarkie's podcast. I didn't know you were such a fan. This is so exciting.
It's all she watches.
It was embarrassing to hear you say that the reason you watch a bunch of Hallmark movies is because you have a podcast. And I was like, oh, I guess I should have a better reason than I just sit and like watch these all day.
Rachel started the podcast because she watched so much Hallmark.
Yeah.
So don't feel embarrassed.
And I met Rachel that way.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. And we started it in 2017, and it's just grown and grown. I mean, I always watched a lot of Hallmark, but it wasn't until I had the podcast that I watched all of Hallmark. but no shame in that. Not around here, that's for sure.
No.
Thank you. I've found my people then.
Yes.
Oh, it's awesome. Even the worst ones, you can find some value in, I feel.
Yeah. But I got to interview Ryan McPartlin and Sarah Drew and the director of Twinkle All the Way, Ryan Herzlinger, last year. It was epic, amazing. So awesome. Great. One of my all-time favorites. So you should check that out. But I love them, and I love him, and I think he's fun in this, and it got two seasons, so they gave it a good try, good effort.
And I think it might have kept going. I know that second season ended during the WB-UPN merger into the CW, and a lot of shows just got axed, not because of ratings or quality, but just higher ups not being interested.
Yeah. So there we go. Let's see. So Larry, what would you give this 1 to 10, this second episode?
I'd probably go with like a 4.5.
Okay. Colleen?
I guess I'll go with a 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably give this one a 6.5. I think Mary Lou Henner gives it a bit of a bump. But I think that's what I would do. What about you, BJ?
I'm going to say a 7.5. I like this one much more than the pilot.
Interesting. And me too. What do you say?
I started really high, giving the pilot a 7, so I am fully committing to that and agreeing with you, Beach, that I'll give this one a 7.5. That we'll call that half a point the Mary Lou Henner difference.
So if you were reviewing this for your podcast, would you tell people continue watching?
We have sort of an alternative rating system that we use where we will say, would watch again seriously, like we're telling you to binge it, would watch again casually, you know, just catch it whenever it's on, and then would watch while folding laundry or cooking, so like in the background, or would not watch again, which obviously is, you know, put it down. So I would say this one is a good would watch while folding laundry or cooking, in the sense that if you are a fan of this podcast and you are firmly in Fran Drescher Hive, then her personality comes out in this. And so perhaps while you're cooking or folding laundry, like this is a fun one to have on in the background. You don't have to pay close attention, but you'll catch some jokes here and there.
And this could be good post-pandemic for traveling. Sometimes we recommend downloading a show and just watching it while you're at the airport terminal or on the plane. And I feel like this is the type of show you could have where you don't need to be completely focused, but you need something to distract you on a long plane ride.
Yeah. Hey, I agree. I could see that. Yeah. I think that's great. Okay, well, great. I think it's been really fun to get to talk about Living with Fran and to meet you and to get to understand Me Too's devotion to Hallmark. This is so exciting. But thank you so much for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. And so where can people find your show and your social media, all that fun stuff?
Sure. So the best place to go is our website, thepilotpodcast.com, and you can subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
And you can find us on social media at thepilotpod on Instagram and Twitter.
Great. And Larry, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at LC Screen Talk.
Great. And Colleen?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at LELE44094. And our Francast Instagram is Francast1993.
Great. And make sure you're following us at Francast14 on Twitter. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check that out. Plus, make sure you're following the Hallmarkies podcast. We are starting Christmas coverage this. We already did all previews, but we're covering our first batch of movies this week. So exciting for Christmas 2020. So make sure that you're logged in to the Hallmarkies podcast as well as Francast. So check that all out. And thanks so much again for coming and doing this. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to have you on again soon. And thanks so much, everybody. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.